Good evening. I'm Roxana Markoch, curator in the Department of Photography, and it is my great pleasure to welcome you this evening to a lecture given by the artist Dan Perzhovsky, whose work I have been following for over a decade and admire deeply. It has been a treat, really, to see Dan at work on his project exhibition, officially opening at the Museum of Modern Art on May 2nd. His exhibition consists primarily of a very large drawing installation that he has set himself the task to conceive over a period of 2 weeks in the museum atrium on one wall specifically, although he's breaking already away from that wall. It's been very interesting because he's been working while the museum is open, and therefore visitors can, and in fact they have been already, interacting with him, and at the same time they can observe the process by which he transforms the medium of drawing into a medium of information and political commentary, as well as performance and installation. So, sort of emboldening the museum's walls, he takes them as a sort of an artist sketchbook or a thinking pad. And from there, he articulates a position of engagement with local and current events. Now, Dan has studied painting initially at the University of Art George Enescu in the academic city of Iași in Romania, but having grown in a communist country and in an autocracy, he soon began to question the usefulness of this official sort of, you know, communist type of training. And instead he turned towards more experimental forms of actionism and drawing to express himself. In 1990, following the demise of communism in Romania and in the Eastern Bloc, as well as the dismantling of the Berlin Wall, he began contributing very incisive drawings to some of the strongest and most prominent journals in Romania, such as Contrapunct and 22. 22, in fact, was the first independent oppositional weekly published in Bucharest. And really, it takes its name from a very historic day, December 22, 1989, when the Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu was ousted from power. And this newspaper, to which he continues to contribute today, is a brainchild of the Group of Social Dialogue, a think tank of dissident writers, artists, and philosophers who endorse freedom of expression and human rights. And Dan has been a member of the Group of Social Dialogue, as well as the main illustrator of 22 and former art director. In the last decade, his drawings have been disseminated from the pages of newspapers to the walls of museums, and primarily in Europe, but now with this exhibition also premiering his first solo museological presentation in the States. And with very biting aplomb, he really questions a number of issues. For instance, among the topics that you'll see that he's been addressed are the position of Eastern Europe in the post-Cold War context, the sort of the Israeli-Palestine conflict, the power dynamic between the United States and the European Union, and all kind of daily, you know, issues, as well as the notions of censorship or the artist's position in the world. And his sketches and skits are extremely pointed in their humor, very critical. Just to give you an example, in the title itself of his project's exhibition at MoMA, What Happened to Us, us capitalized refers at once to the subjective pronoun, us as a collectivity, and to the proper noun, US, United States of America. because really he's very true to his journalistic roots, Dan has also conceived a free newspaper that will be available in the atrium once the show opens. And for those of you who are interested to read a little bit more about his background and you know, his projects, I would suggest that you read the interview that I conducted with him for our website. So it's on MoMA's website. And in case that after this evening you become addicted to his dark humor, I would also suggest that you go tomorrow night. There will be a discussion that Dan will have at the Romanian Culture Institute at 7:30 with Corina Șuteu, the institute's director. And finally, he will show you this evening that he will make a presentation of his projects elsewhere. And then there will be time also for a Q&A session. We'll open it to the public. I will just mention very briefly that his work has been shown internationally with solo exhibitions most recently at the Tate in London, at Moderna Museet in Stockholm, at Porticus in Frankfurt, at Museum Ludwig in Cologne. Currently, it is on view at the Centre Georges Pompidou in Paris, at the Sharjah Biennale in the United Arab Emirates, as well as the Moscow Biennale in Russia. And after this show at MoMA closes, Dan, as well as the artist Lia Perzhovsky, Dan's wife, will be featured their work in a survey exhibition at the National Museum of Art at Duke University. It is a show that is organized by Christine Stiles. Also, there for those of you who travel, you can see him this summer at the Venice Biennale, next year at the Sydney Biennale, and also here in the States later this year in an exhibition called Brave New Worlds at the Walker Arts Center. Both him and Lia will be present there. So with this being said, I would like to ask you to join me welcoming Dan Perzhovsky.
Good evening. So, like the model for this evening will be, I have a lecture which is based on images, so it will go very fast, and then we'll have some time for questions and some answers. Because one thing which is very, very complicated when you come from a remote place is to kind of map the context. So, somewhere in 1994, I came for the first time in the United States. I got a fellowship called United States Information Agency, connected with Mid-America Art Alliance. So I had a month to tour United States, big cities, medium cities, small city, east, west coast. It was wonderful. At that time, I create a piece called Postcards from America, which consists, as you see here, in about 400 drawings, nice, draw, postcard size, colored paper, beautiful, happy times. This was 1994. Since then, as Roxana put it about me, I also keep an eye on the United States. Because all my work was connected with news. All my work is connected with context. All my work is connected with reflecting news and reflecting context, political or social context. So somewhere here is always something about United States. And my art somehow can be described as the path from this, passing this, to this. And this is the piece now in the atrium in MoMA, so how they say it, you made it to MoMA. And I just take the opportunity to have such a wonderful space in an international atrium to recollect a lot of my drawings previously made for different contexts and different times. So let's have a longer explanation. I am a post-modern ex-communist. and my country looked like that. It was cold, it was nothing to eat, and the context was the paranoid dream of a dictator. There was no way. There was no way someone can express freely in such a context. So the only thing we could do at the time was to retract in our own intimate space. This is the apartment I have in 1988. And try to express for yourself or for your partner. So somewhere in 1988, I packed my apartment in paper and I drew it. It was Leah's first holiday from the Art Academy in Bucharest, where she studied at the time. Funny thing is, we lived like that for 2 weeks. Television packed, socks packed, everything packed. And it was like the first attempt, without knowing, to have an installation. At the time, we were not familiar even with the term. At the time, I was post-graduating some very academic school, and I was teach only to play with 2D dimension. So without knowing, I somehow set the kind of path I will follow the next years. This was the country. It was a paranoid society who have this fruit. And this is the dream of a dictator came true. This is Bucharest today. What you see in the back is the second or third large building after the Pentagon. And in front of it is an entire inset in the city. Actually, one quarter of the city of Bucharest was destroyed to build such a thing. Now, what is interesting for me is that at the time of the building, there was artists praising this. And now, at the time of freedom, there's other artists praising it. As if the misery of communism cannot reflect of misery of neoliberalism. As if a type of propaganda is mirrored with another type of propaganda. So what you can do with such a thing? What you can do with such a thing which represents the past and it's impossible to erase? Romanians decide to put the parliament in. And I think this was a plain mistake. I will probably find much more interesting way to use this kind of building. I will probably find much more radical statements to somehow block the heritage. I took what an artist can do. I took the received freedom to express. So, in a series of posters of 1995, I commented this. How come we've been taught that we are like a tiny people, we always survive in history. So how come a tiny people like us can have the biggest house on the planet? It is called the house of the people, by the way. How come these kind of slogans who always and misfortunately represent our failures, like always in between two empires, and that's why we were not able to do some. Or like the most beautiful country in the world. And by the way, I learned this in school, like the most beautiful country in the world. And I remember I had a kind of a, we could not travel until 1990. So the first trip I did was in Yugoslavia, actually in Bosnia and Herzegovina, in Tuzla. And I remember we took a bus with Leah and we went to Sarajevo and like the shock of somebody else having mountains and like forests and like, wow. So, as a response to this, and completely contrary to the education I have, which means still lives, you know, gypsum models, and like doing the same thing over like 10 years. After 1990, I tried to imagine other mediums of expression, something which looks more appropriate to the time we live. Which means, like in like revolution after revolution, And one of these was performance, using your body, using the happiness to have your body back, and using it as a tool. But not in a spectacular way or in an entertainment way. And it's, by the way, later on that was the case. I even stopped. But more into a conceptual or radical way. So, in 1993, with the occasion of a festival in Timișoara, I tattoo the name of my country on my shoulder. It was a time when you feel like 1993, you know, neo-communism in power. You felt like a cattle. It was, they told you are free now, but you weren't. And every time I pass the board, I've been asked about the politics back home. Every time I have, as artist, have somehow to answer my government's decisions, me as an individual. So, and I could not escape that. I was coming from Eastern Europe, and how the story goes, like in the middle of somewhere beginning of 1990s, I was coming from East Central Europe. Somewhere in the mid 90s, I was coming from East Europe. At the end of the 90s, I was featuring in shows of East Europe. And in the new millennium, I'm coming from Balkans. And I never moved from Bucharest. So this kind of relativity and of geopolitics gave me the freedom to go in my path. And my path is simple. It starts like this. Simplify and go directly to the wall. This is a project I did in 1995 in Franklin Furnace, New York. I got a grant called ArtsLink, that's a month given to the East European artists. And this is like a grant, you know, they ship you into the States. You need about 2 weeks to recover. Then you do something, and the next week you have to go home. So I said, okay, let's plan something which I can start from day one. And the project was to draw with pencil all the gallery. And I finished in a month, and I did an opening on 1st of December. And the opening was based on the fact that people receive eraser gums and they can erase the drawing. 1st of December is the day dedicated to AIDS in this city. Or I can explain my path like this. This is a piece conceived between 1990 and 1992. It's called Anthropotech. Holds 5,000 drawings and you have to flip into. It's like a wall with drawings. Now, 10 years later, it's just the wall with drawings. No paper. This is in Generali Foundation in Vienna on a show analyzing the new Europe. Or like this in Venice Biennale in 1999 when I draw the pavement, the floor of the Romanian pavilion, and the people they have to step on the drawing and literally consume it. And this is what changed my art. This is the first drawing I did for the 22 magazine at the number 100 on the cover. And since then, from 1991, since today, I do it every week. And without knowing, I found myself active in the public space. I found myself using the paper of a newspaper as a gallery. I find myself in the situation I have to invent a drawing who illustrates a text but can survive without the text. What you see here on the walls of MoMA is this. They are drawing who comes from stories from newspaper or story, news. Text is gone, drawing stay. And joking about that, I did a piece for the After the Wall exhibition in Stockholm in 1999. This was a big survey about what happened in the art of East Europe after the falling of the wall. And I did a wall of newspaper with my drawings and my texts. And the only one The only medium who can penetrate the language barrier is the drawing. What's floating on is just like a joke. It's like banknote, Romanian money. They carried the Constantin Brancusi face, and it was the lowest bill. So I make ships, 5,000 or 500 of them, and that was very funny because all the money, Romanian money, transferring to dollar would be like maybe $500, but they insured the piece with like 5,000. So I say, I'm better than the National Bank of Romania. So, already pointing my style, already in the international kind of track. If you remember the performance of the 1993 with the Romania. So in 2003, with the occasion of a survey of the Balkan art, this time, curated by René Bloch at Kunsthalle Fridericianum, I took the tattoo out with some laser techniques. And if the making cost a beer, the demaking cost 2,000 euro. And the tattoo is gone. So I become an international artist, like flying around and drawing about the world we live, the big talk, the small listen, and the geopolitics I mentioned, or the new Europe. About 1 million Romanian citizens are abroad working. About or about the cultural relation between who's having the power and who's not. And this is a drawing made in Amsterdam, by the way. And always my drawings are in a certain way site-specific, and the site-specificity is like here in London at the Tate, because London is one of the most surveyed cities in the planet, the number of CCTV on the head of the inhabitant, or like here in Modena Museum. Because it's very interesting how these museums, which are the knowledge places and they invite people, they have so many restrictions. I just play with that. Or like here in Germany, you know, they recycle everything, so they can recycle art too. Or like in France. And it can be a site specificity based on the architecture, but also on the idea. What you see here is from the project Roxana mentioned at the Pompidou Center. And the wall I draw, I was very, very happy about it because you can see it from outside and you are not supposed to, you can see it for free. You cannot pay. You just see it. And by the way, site specificity, this is in Moscow. And Moscow in this very moment can play with Europe, gas, no gas. So I said, this is Moscow Biennale this year. In a very interesting space, level 12, where is the violet light? That was the Moscow Biennale. It was pretty complicated. In a way, it sounds very good as doing an art show in a chantier, in a building site. On the other hand, so I do works outdoor, like here, Kunsthalle Fridericianum, 2003. Where I didn't like to be under the umbrella of Balkan art, so I was on the street around the Balkan art. Or this in Nuremberg. I do drawings on the wall, on the glass, like here in Tate Modern. Where it's so interesting because between St. Paul and Tate Modern there's the Millennium Bridge. And it was in Tate about, you know, here and there. Or in very rough spaces like here in the Istanbul Biennial. And my drawings are coming from actuality and they reflect upon and they are moved from one wall to another. They are temporary, but I keep redraw them. I keep them alive. This is a standard black and white, black on white. That's about Turkey going European. If they want too hard, you can go wrong European. Black on white, or exactly the opposite, white on black. Here we are at the Kulturhest in Porto. And this was very interesting because it's an association, a foundation of art, and the space they operate, it's a former bank, and Secession Bank. So I had to invent something to compete with the space somehow. From this kind of stuff, in very brutal kind of drawings, this is Kokarait Solferein in Essen in 2003, to this kind of sensible drawing. And this is a multi-layer drawing made, I mean, draw, paint over, for a show at Stedelijk Museum in Amsterdam. And I was just researching a bit a possibility to expand this room drawing into kind of getting another dimension, either going into like the walls or if, as if the drawings are coming out of the walls. Looks like that. And it can be, in some cases, used as a kind of decorative at first glance. And this is a drawing I did for the Bucharest Biennale in last year, in 2006. And this biennial was called Chaos. And this is in Botanical Garden in Bucharest. And it was, I did the decision to do this and not use like stories, because I heard people who surveyed this and their own stories based on their own life, and I cannot compete with that. Anyways, I'm doing art from small white cube galleries to very big white cube institutions. This is Porticus in Frankfurt, where my project was based on a relation with students. I have a everyday kind of workshop to feed me with some stories, and you see, they helped me to be very critical. Or like in the case of La Caixa in Barcelona, where I drew in the staircase, so the gallery was kind of empty. And if you took the elevator, you missed the show. Another kind of strange space, this is the wardrobe of the Moderna Museum in Stockholm. That's the wardrobe. And that's very funny because they don't have nobody there. So you go and you put your clothes. It's your kind of trip within the hangars. That's about Swedish. And also, I use this 140 lockers they have in the museum, and I display in each like a drawing. So you have this kind of private view every time you put your clothes on. But like the standard drawing, this project I do now is this. I'm living for a period of time in a place. Here we are at the Ludwig Museum in Köln. And I download on the walls what's happened with us, what happened with the world we live in. And the informations and all this display is watched by some people or by a lot of people. I usually get all the stories from media, from mainstream media, and I operate with German, French, and British and American newspapers. I also now and lately survey some of the blogs, some of this alternative media, just to have a kind of different angle. And this, in the case of a project in Cologne, where display on a furniture, actually a sculpture by Franz West, which is called Cantine. And we decided to use that because it's the, in a way similar with my tactic. It looks very elegant, white, black, but it's made out of brutal iron. It can cut your socks or something. If you are not very careful, it can hurt you in some way. And that was also a place to encounter and discuss and debate. Here is Mr. Kasper Koenig, the director of the museum, telling me how to draw, which I do. And that's the the conclusion of the show. But simply put it, I'm coming from, my background is was a very restrictive society. I was contained and controlled. I didn't have any decision to make until 1989. So since then, I have this appearance, I obey. They tell me nowadays, you draw from here to here. And I draw it. I try to do it by myself because I don't trust nobody. I draw it, I hang it. I don't need teams, I don't need equipment, very complicated. I operate with low budgets. But my inside wish, and this is a heritage of the previous time, is to always expand, to exit the space, to exit the frame, to somehow conquer another dimension. And if you remember the 1988 piece in my flat in Oradea, it was not the dimension, the physical dimension of the streets going out in the public, but it was the dimension of an artist with itself, like to conquer my space. Thank you very much. Got the feeling I was a little bit too melodramatic lately, but it was not an easy experience. It was a pretty complicated one, and coming back to the place I'm now, I just want to thank, as usually, the people who was involved in this project here, and Roxana especially, and the people behind this project in MoMA, which I found a very important line of work in such big museums. Because I wonder, I had the experience of museums lately, and either they are a fantastic institution, but they got stuck in their own fantastic place. They got, it's like an enormous ship. They cannot turn. So I think the role of the project is just this, to give some kind of spice, give some kind of... And I also want to thank very much the Romanian Cultural Center, and Corina Șutea and Oana Radu, who support this project very much. And... I'm very happy to be here, and in a way, you know, when you are a kid, they don't let you mess the walls. They don't let you touch it. And now, as a grown-up, they even pay me for doing this. There are questions? I think there are some microphones, yeah? It's impossible to be so clear, no? It has to be something.
You showed this example when you painted over some of the drawings.
Yeah.
Was it only for this specific site, or is it a way to edit some of your drawings to choose maybe you change your mind in the process of making the drawings? Or
no, I mean, even I change my mind, I don't cover. I leave it on the wall. I just cross over. That was, I try to do in every place I am, just for me, like something different. Like to invent something which belongs to that place. And in a way, this is the gift I give to the institution who put money on me. Try to give it as a kind of a unique proposal. So in Amsterdam was like this, was kind of multi-layered. I never repeat this. I don't know if I'll do it or not again in some other place like in Sarja, because it was about ecology. I draw with chalk, not with marker, not with chemical, but with, you know, some kind of natural thing. I tried to somehow create a uniqueness. So that was it. I just layered and then over, as if some of the stories are gone. Or
can you talk more about thoughts. Like,
yeah, that was like a propaganda grant I got. And it worked. Because I visited, like, can imagine, like San Francisco and LA and New Orleans and New York. And then I had a residency 1 month in Florida. And I mean, and I met Chris Burden in Topanga Canyon. I could make a list, and there was a team of 8 people arranging my schedule to meet everybody I want. So that was the first meeting of America was pretty spectacular, I may say. And I didn't know at the time what to ask. Now I know better, but there's no grant anymore. Anyway, you have to know, like, U.S. are very effective. They give this grant not only for the artists, but also for people in agriculture, in military, ever, you know. They just spin you around. And I was shocked, so I kind of download this kind of impression I have, but they were like kind of very beautiful. I know it, so that's why I call them postcards. You don't have nasty things on postcards. You have beautiful things on postcards. So there was a package of postcards. And I even remember now, like, I draw that while I was in Atlantic Center for the Arts. And every other day I came with a new drawing, stick them to a wall. And people in the office in this residency place, Atlantic Center for the Arts, they somehow realize I'm working with actuality. So they start to offer me things, events. So I was to see a launch of a shuttle, like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know if you saw something like that, but it's quite impressive. So like a lot of people, and it's the 250 launch, and there's a lot of people there, and when the shuttle is going, you hear nothing. The sound's coming later. Boom, like this. And then the people applaud, like kids, and I kiss. So I came from a very disequilibrated country where people hate themselves in the first years. And I encounter a country where people kiss because the shuttle is 240 time up. So I was pretty impressed. That's postcard from America, you know. Now, after that, I kind of revisit every statement I had in that book I print. And I become a bit more, let's say, not cynical, because I try in my drawing not to be cynical at all, but to be empathic somehow, but more accurate, more critical. Yeah. By the way, with the center, just this to add, I rest like kind of a friendship, and they invite me every year I came somehow in America, including one time, 1996, they offer me and Leah like a house on the beach for like a week. You know, a trustee have a house on the beach. They, Dan, you can come down and you have a house on the beach. That's pretty nice. Yes?
I saw you drawing on the wall. I watched you drawing your drawing the other day, and you seem to be enjoying yourself so much. I've never really seen an artist do a project like that in public. I mean, most of the time you see it, it's already been done. And were you at all informed by the people watching you? It was just a great experience to see it, you know, to see all that.
Yeah, I still have something of a performer in me.
Yeah.
I enjoy this a bit. On the other hand, it's not very easy. Because when you draw this, my drawings have this kind of humor character at first. And if you draw it and there's no like rumor behind you, like kind of laughing, you start to wonder, maybe I... So it's when you fear the gaze. But now here it's, I feel a bit secure because they give me like a machine who's like also having a kind of protective space. And then... as I told you, the atrium here is very international. There were some people from Porto who saw that project with black. And they were very amazed that I'm in MoMA, so they called their daughter. Whoa, the artist we saw last week is here. So it's pretty fun. Yeah. But it's not easy.
But you looked like you were really enjoying yourself. You kept looking down. I kind of wished I was Thomas Struth.
Maybe
I
mean, it was a shooting session because there were some that I had to.
I had to enjoy. No, I really enjoy it. This is my experience. I become very popular with guards and with people. And this is not to make fun, but probably for a lot of visitors, of even MoMA or other museum, there's a surprise to find such kind of aesthetic or content on such museum. And I feel more comfortable here because it's, you know, it's a Pettibone country and it's Basquiat and it's Keith Haring or whatever. So still, I kind of... In other parts, was more difficult. I was in Chile. I have no idea how they will respond. I was in Sharjah early. I have no idea how people will respond to humor. Here, more or less, I know. And I think my work is not only my work, the drawing on the wall, but also people pointing. Because they kind of create a choreography. They move the hands, and it's kind of they re-describe the drawings. It's quite fascinating. My work was fascinating. Yeah. But it's not easy. Not easy because it's always like a pressure that you don't do things exactly what to communicate, to be more aggressive. I mean, where to stop it. I have to be a little bit more dry because it's not a gallery. It's an atrium. I can't let myself with like nerves or, you know, expressing kind of maybe too harsh statements. So a little bit I have to control in a way. It's very kind of public, this world.
When you covered your apartment in Bucharest with paper and drew, did you tell people that you were doing that? Was that a...
At the time... yeah, but with a small group. It was by accident. A number of young artists in the same city. And we were doing shows together. And now, looking retrospectively, that shows are just statistics. And the experiences we did, Leah and I, in that flat, which was for us and for some limited number of friends, but not only from the arts, they become like essential marks in our CV, in our... and it's very interesting. So we could not make it publicly, but it was... the knowledge, the information was distributed at our level a little bit. And there is a very tough story connected with that apartment. In the same kind of time, we did with Leah and a lot of other people, but we too, and some very extensively male art. It was the only way to escape the country. This is art through mail, through envelope, to whatever. It's a communication tool. We didn't know. We just have to this idea that I send something and I receive. And I was working at a museum at the time, a complex museum with natural science, history, and art. And when I got to take the mail of the museum, mine was bigger than the museum. Anyway, we got so fascinated to do that. But this was a backlash. So at the time, Romania was totally controlled. Everything connected with the Western country was under surveillance of Secret Service. So somebody from the Securitate appeared immediately, the Romanian version of KGB, and tried to spoke with me and tried to kind of force me. And in the same time, I got a prize in Tuzla, in Yugoslavia, a drawing prize. And also I mailed a drawing, and I got a prize. And the prize was I was invited in Yugoslavia. And at the time, Yugoslavia was the place where Romanian swing the Danube, got in Yugoslavia, and then Austria, and boom. So nobody will give you a visa for Yugoslavia. We didn't have passports at the time. You have to apply to Secret Service to get a passport, to Securitate. Anyways, these guys appear, and I didn't know how to handle the problem, and I invited in my home, which looks like that. And it's not, I mean, I was not very courageous at the time, and it was very sinister. But it contributed. So I said, I'm nuts, you know, this is what I do. So just can't I forget my name. And I get rid of this guy. So that's, he is the only witness out of my friends. I have to tell you something else. I didn't consider this as necessary, like an art piece or something. I just did it. And then years, many years after, it became an art piece.
I just wonder, are you concerned by the fact that your art could be seen as ephemeral? I mean, charcoal will not stay on the walls forever. And at the same time, I couldn't stop seeing your drawings, and I know them, of course, from before, thinking that that your kind of art could be seen somehow like graffiti, but, I don't know, pushed at a higher level. Do you see any parallel?
Yeah, it is a melange between graffiti and cartoons and whatever, but it's a kind of an indoor graffiti. And if you ask me frankly, I'm not a big fan of graffiti. I admire stencil, the language who have sense, who have a narrative, a story. I don't like these tags. For me, it looks like McDonald's. They're all over the world the same. I can't stand them. But the ones with the story, with the meaning, yeah. No, I was a little bit concerned for a while because people assimilate what I do with cartoons. And I don't have a problem with cartoons. I like cartoons. But the way they rate it is like low art somehow. But who cares if I can do them in MoMA? About temporality. Yeah, I am concerned, and but this is a part of the thing. I can't change it in a way. They are so interesting because they're gone, and that gives me the freedom to redraw them again. I don't have like a repertoire printed. I remember things, and I redraw. There are a lot of them here, like condensed. I joke. Like saying this is a temporary project with permanent markers. But it's not fun when you see when it's painting over. It's not fun at all. But it's also like it's giving me the chance to do it again better or something, you know, something like that. And apparently, this is very funny in our world because anyway you try to be independent and critical, the kind of institution and the system are getting you in. And I'm popular with galleries. Yeah, I'm working with some galleries, and what I sell or what is from me, what is left out of me in the market or whatever, is like the kitchen. The drawings made for the wall drawing. And I think the longest drawing I did is right in this very moment in Van Abbe Museum in Eindhoven. I did it already there, like a huge lobby. And these are the Dutch people. They don't spend money if they can't. If they can not to spend, they don't. So they asked me after like 4 months, can we keep it longer? Because they have to install a scaffold. It's very expensive. They have to repaint it. Can we keep it like 3 months and then another 3 months? And now we are in a deal. They will keep it for 5 years, and every year, it's like 5 years plan, you know. So I go every year and I draw some more. This will be the longest temporary project I will have.
I noticed that in one of your drawings that you added recently, a clever one that had the word art in a hung frame. And then below it, it said conceptual art, and there was just sort of that hanging and no work.
Yeah.
And I had been curious just whether or not you were influenced at all or thinking at all about Saul LeWitt in particular and his wall drawings, even though I know your work is so different, and particularly thinking that recently.
This is a more complex question because the way I'm formed as an artist was without knowing nothing. I never reached Picasso when I did studies. They stopped before, like 20 years before Picasso in art history. We didn't know our own 70s, nothing. We didn't know the people who were living next to us in another city who were doing something underground. So when I start to know about that, it was already too late. And we had to recuperate. You cannot imagine when you, like, the freedom is coming, you are free, you go out, and you find something you didn't know about it, and it's the contemporary art. And you have to squeeze like 50 years in 5 to kind of recuperate that. So, no, I answer no. I got them all, everybody. Now I'm looking more careful about the 60s and the courage and that's kind of enormous, like the breaking rules on the freedom of artists and the concept. They did a lot of amazing stuff. But now I'm looking. When I grew up, I didn't know nothing about that. We didn't have models. We refused models. In my country, there was one single model, one in top. Everybody hates it. So we didn't have models. And now I piece together stuff. And sometimes I'm very amazed about works and artists. I know very little. And I try to, although I'm having a big ego, I try to get this in. And it's very complicated because it's like with languages. It's easier to learn them when you are young. And that, so it's so big differences, even in terms and stuff. So, but still, I mean, I keep an eye, but I'm not, I can't tell you, like, I'm often asked who influenced you. And I can't point somebody or maybe a work here, maybe some. It's very complicated. And I don't want to sound like very, no, it's like a misfortune in a way. It was not funny at all to realize that you are like lost. They teach you wrong. They told you nothing. Maybe it was good because it was a bad school I did and I get rid of it very quick. Maybe. When people in my country ask me what's my model, sometimes just to piss them off, I said there's some kind of very famous traditional church which are painted outdoor. And I said this is like cartoons. It's like Bible in visual image because people are illiterate, so they paint it for them. So I said, that's the cartoons I'm coming from. But there's a guy called Saul Steinberg. So he's coming from Romania. I mean, his family from a Jewish community here. And the type of line and the intelligence behind I like a lot. But I didn't know about it until I came in the States and saw New Yorker.
I know that you and Leah had created a library of sorts, and I was just wondering to help bring in a lot of resources that might not have existed in Romania. And I was wondering what you had hoped for that project and how it informs your work, and also does it still exist and how does it function? And then secondly, totally different topic, but I was wondering, in so many of your drawings, you really pinpoint a country and make a statement about maybe psychology or culture. And I'm wondering where you get those sorts of identities from. Is it from the mass culture, or is it something that you observe when you're interacting with people, when you're actually making the works?
Okay, so starting with the second question, it's a melange of things. It's coming from media, talking with people, reading, and knowing for some time about a certain topic or place. And it's added. And somehow, sometime, it's coming like a visual image who can cover the complexity of the thing. I mean, I was asked, because I go to a city and I stay 2 weeks, and then I make statements about the country and people and was that. But I'm that's why I use topics from the media or even stereotypes or cliché, which everybody can recognize, and I twist them around sometimes. I just twist them around. I just I was asked today in an interview, and I said, when I do a project, I'm in a state of a drawing. I see everything in a graphic form. And when I finish the project, I have to decompress to exit that form. Because even now, this discussion, it can be illustrated, it can be made. You know. You are up, but I have the microphone. Or, you know. Anyway, it's a complex ingredient. And I can't give you the formula. Sometimes I'm doing drawings which are pure stupid, but it's like funny. But this is also in the language of people. And sometimes they are more sophisticated, like the drawing with the conceptual art. And it's very simple, but very sophisticated. Now, coming back with the Archive of Contemporary Art, it was called the Initiative, and that was Leah's business. Because when I realized that we don't know, her approach was to read and to get the information and organize it. And my approach was just to crash in. So that was a very organic situation. We had our career as artists. We went out. We got stuff. Stuff meaning knowledge, information, books, whatever. And then that structure in a way, and it is dead if you keep it in your library. So it becomes like a platform of discussion and debates using that kind of material. And also the practices, we came with practices in our own territory. And it grew from like an archive into a center for analysis and a response. So we organized lectures and stuff, discussion, debate. And for sometimes in the last 2 years, it was the only critical space in Bucharest. And it's like this. Because, capitalists hit us bad in the sense that everybody's so fascinated now by the glitter and by the shiny and by the making money and, you know, this, then they are not careful enough. They don't have feedbacks. They don't talk. They don't criticize themselves. So we try to keep that alive. And by the way, do you remember this huge building? Okay, that's the parliament of my country need. So what the symbol of the dictatorship is the symbol of democracy now. And on the back of it, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, is the Museum of Contemporary Art located. And how to answer this? And we answer with newspaper and papers and drawings and this kind of stuff. Anyways, it's still active. It's in a form now, we call it quarantine. Because after like 15 years of activity, you get back sometimes only bad vibes. People don't like to be critical. They like to go with the flow. And we got infected in a way. So we try to imagine what's happening with that, with this knowledge, with that kind of, and with that practice of engaging and dialogue and talk in the future. It will be another form. But it was very helpful, I think, and a part of the, we contribute to the changing of the art scene in our country. And I think big time. Even though people don't exactly, let's follow or go into critical mode or something, but they still, it's another dimension. And it's still growing. It's still kind of, it's an interesting place, I think. It was for a while in our studio, and we never produced our art in our studio. It was just a place to meet. And I have to tell you, we benefit a lot also from this constant thing. And but I also have to tell you, very sadly, things are not that you imagine. And as I imagine in 1990, my country, it's not like that. It's not. It's progressed enormously, but not how I envision. It's the same with the art scene and the same with the art in general. So it is an institution who found another form to exist.
Yeah.
this is a compliment. My audience is an intelligent people. You have to have a certain training and knowledge and reading and certain way to question ourselves in order to get some of the images. And I don't know, like, to target it, young, old, male, female, I don't know. And I'm working with this magazine since 17 years, and I know there's like 10,000 issues now, print, and it was 50,000. Serious magazine go down. I can't not describe even there who's the public. I don't know. I think I'm not active at this level. I think it might be an echo. And maybe this is what I'm doing. I try to kind of to state that an artist can have a discourse to be understood or taken in consideration by politicians also. Because I think we are overtrained to be very sensible to situation and to formulate the situation. And I think, you know, did you ever see these reports they got? If you read that, you die. And sometimes an image can say more. So I don't recall in my life like some politician coming saying his practice was changed by one of my drawings. But I think because I'm working with this magazine and because I'm working with this kind of material, it's somehow inevitable that some of my statements to click. I don't know where it goes. I don't know my audience. And I don't have in mind somebody precisely when I draw. This is like boring, but I draw for myself first to understand. And if I draw a thing, a story, a situation, and I can narrow it in some lines and I understand it, then I know it somehow. And if I do that, I can transmit, I think. Although today, this was very interesting, I have a drawing which is like kind of a big tower, and then the same big tower when the sun is up and all the windows, like people, they are out in the sun. And somebody in the audience thought it's about twin towers. And why not? So not exactly every of my drawing is labeled target. They can have different meanings. So, yeah. I even don't bother with the audience, I have to tell you. In my inner context of the magazine, I have some, if it's a subject of economy, I do some four drawings, I show to my colleagues, and the one they laugh, that's it. But here I can't test. I saw people doing this. I can't even imagine the direction, so I know the most popular drawing on the wall. But I have surprises. Today, somebody, 11 years old, kid, I asked, what's your favorite? And he said, the one with minority. So. Probably. But I have to tell you that I have very, very kind of modest expectation, like the guards. They come to me and say, it's very good. People enjoy that's enough. I mean, yeah. It still is, because she's like now here as a sparring partner. I look very, but I'm very nervous. So I have to download nerves and tension and all of this. So, and I have to have somebody could, when I have to take a decision, to talk. And that's been very interesting because we don't share the same kind of sense of humor. So if we make it with her.
Yeah. Maybe one more question. I was wondering, you're from Bucharest yourself, from the city, but is there artist outside the city itself in the country, or do you relate to the other artist, or have you gone outside, you know, in the country, small villages and towns?
I'm not from Bucharest. I'm from a city in Transylvania called Hermannstadt, Sibiu. And this is a half German city. Then I did my study in the east part in Iași, and I got a job in the west part in Oradea. And now I'm in Bucharest, in the capital. So somehow I kind of cover it. And actually, this is very interesting, like as a question, because there's a splendid art magazine called Idea, and it's not printed in Bucharest. It's printed in Cluj, in Transylvania. And one of the biggest and important show in my country is in Iași, in the east. Bucharest, I think, is too dominated by politics, and they have too much other things to do, or maybe it's too complicated to fundraise money there, or to give a... In another city, you have to have one signature. In Bucharest, 20. So, I don't know. It's something with the city. It's developed an art scene which is more energetic now. There are a lot of young people. So if you come to Bucharest in our days, you'll see some stuff which were not years ago. But this doesn't mean you see good stuff. You see stuff. You see things, initiative, and maybe some position which may be relevant. And there are some. But if it's to do a very harsh statement, I can tell you that it's still a country with an academic training. It's still somehow orientated to somehow craft, because they educate their skills and not thinking. And it's still a country which doesn't have enough spaces and, you know... We came from a society who gave us everything, like as artists, studios, galleries, but you have to obey. And it was one single structure controlling. Now that's gone, it's democracy, but nobody cares. And this passage is very painful. Some people can never adapt, and they are just going out, and nobody cares. And sometimes it's very sad to see this. And I don't know, here is a very competitive thing, but maybe you grew up with this. Maybe it's a different story. Maybe people who come here, they know it from the beginning. But we don't, because we are from a culture which they tell you culture matters. So how? Anyways, it's much more interesting than it was, in terms of personality, position, and some initiative. But from my point of view, it could be very much better. Yeah.